scripture reading this morning. It comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Lord, as we come and worship you. And we talk about sacrifice. We talk about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for us. So in light of that, we come and we read in your scripture today that we're to be living sacrifices, realizing that He paid the price once and all for sin. So our living sacrifice isn't so much about the sin that can be a part of our lives as it is pushing that aside because of recognizing Jesus has taken care of it, giving it to you, and realizing that we're able to be transformed, and that as we're transformed, we're able to live in your will in a new way, in an exciting way, in a way that often doesn't make sense to the world in which we live, yet a world who yearns to know something different. Lord, be with us now as we seek to connect with you and to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been talking about discipleship for 5 weeks now. And I'm going to review that in just a moment, but I want to do something else first. I'm kind of putting you on the spot. And it's not going to make me uncomfortable if nobody says anything, but I hope that you will. I usually prime the pump and let somebody know ahead of time I'm asking for this, but I'm not today. I want to know if there's anyone here who is willing to share something about how you're growing in your relationship with God, how God's revealing Himself to you, some things that God's doing in your life right now that you're willing to share. Is there anyone? I know you hadn't had a chance to think about it, but you don't have to prepare that much. Just what's God doing in your life right now that you're willing to share with someone else? Jesse. Good. That's awesome. That's a good word. What else is God doing in your life right now? You have something, Noah? God's helping him be brave. If you talk to Noah, he's got a big, huge hole in the bottom of his foot where he had a wart cut out in. That was not a fun thing, and his brother almost passed out when he was watching the doctor do it. So courage and bravery can be something. Who else? What's God doing in your life right now that you can give testimony to who God is? Patience again. What else? What's God doing in your life? Anybody? Continue to think about that. It's going to come back around again in the message that we have today. We started in first part of April talking about being a disciple. We talked about God's role versus our role and realizing that both are required in order to be a disciple. And then the next week I entitled the sermon, "Let's Go Fishing." And really what that was about is it is about relationships, and that discipleship isn't something that just happens through a program. It's not something you just teach somebody, but it's about a relationship that you experience together. It starts with our relationship with God, but then carries over into our relationship with others. Next week was my favorite title that I had, and it's, "You Want Me to Clean the Toilet?" And it was about service. And it was about the fact that basically that saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And we can go and we can tell people about God and we can share that, but if it's really going to mean anything, usually we need to have invested something with those people we're spending time with, and usually one of the best ways to do that is just practically meet needs that they have. Sometimes even if it means cleaning the toilet. And then the next week, we talked about the fact that discipleship, we talked about relationships, and a lot of things you can just get off talking about, but I brought us back to the point that anything that's really true and valuable and meaningful about discipleship is grounded in Scripture, and that we need to understand that. And we can read Scripture in the light of what discipleship is in so many different places. So we were encouraged to do that. Then last week we talked about sharing ourselves. We talked about something about how being a good mom, being a godly mom, paralleled a disciple, what discipleship was. And I just thought that was a beautiful picture that came from 1 Timothy that we talked about last time. But just the idea of what it means to share our true selves with each other and be a person of integrity, and the fact that being a person of integrity in terms of discipleship leads others to do the same. So that's where we've been. And I encourage you, one of the things that's gone along with this, I've gotten a couple of quotes each week that kind of guide us along through this, and they've been put down the hallway. And I invite you sometime or another, if you've got a minute between services or you're doing something, just take some time and walk down through there and allow God to speak to you as you reflect on some of the things we've talked about the past few weeks. And if maybe there was a message there that stuck out to you and you weren't here some Sunday or so, you may not know, in the past few months we began putting our messages on the website as well. You can go to our website, woodlandchurch.org, and listen to any of these messages. So I invite you to do that if you feel God leading you to understand, know more about that. But as we move into today, hopefully you got your Bibles there. You'll be able to follow along with some of the scriptures. We talk about it, or they may put it back up on the screen too. But I have a question for you. Are you doing or being the person God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you being the person God wants you to be? That's our question for today. I want you to really think, reflect on that for a moment. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you being the person God wants you to be? Because I think that the scripture that we have today tells us what it means to do that. What it means to do what God wants us to do. What it means to be the person God wants us to be. As we get started, kind of an introduction, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters." We talked a while back about exhortation and what exhorting someone meant, and that the scripture was good for exhortation, which meant basically telling someone in a pretty strong way, this is what you need to be doing. I didn't realize this until I took time to study this a little more in depth in preparation for this message, but this passage where it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters," this is actually an exhortation from Paul. An exhortation means it was a pleasantry. It wasn't just him saying this would be a good thing for you to do. It wasn't just a welcome and him saying something to this church, but it was saying, look, this is what you need to be doing. And I mean it. Now, he said it, there was a gentleness that was put with it as I understood that, because he said, I urge you. Urge you is part of an exhortation that's stronger than what we feel when we use the word urge sometimes. But then he put brothers and sisters in that context. Some place you'll just see brothers, but it referred to males and females. And this was him being gentle with it. Because you see, in biblical time, there was much more of a hierarchy of different things, and things were accepted that way. So Paul, in the Christian context, was seen as a premier Christian leader. Yet he was talking to some people who in their time and their culture were considered some of the, quote, lower Christians. Now we understand God doesn't see us that way. But in his culture, that was true. That was just the way things were. But Paul went further to break through this cultural barrier and say, I'm urging you, I've got responsibility to tell you what I'm about to tell you, but you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want you to hear it that way. But there was a sense in which Paul was saying, this is a big deal. You need to listen, you need to pay attention, and you need to follow through. So that's the context in which I'm sharing this today. So, there are four or five different phrases I want us to focus on. The first one is being a living sacrifice. We're to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, in what we've talked about here, and I read a lot about it, but it can be summarized in terms of Christ living in our soul. We talk about that, but is it really true? You cannot be a living sacrifice unless Christ is truly a part of living in your soul. So that's the starting point. It requires a daily commitment. It's not just like you come, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get baptized, and you say, okay, my soul is cleansed. No, it's a daily thing. You know why it's a daily thing? Because Satan is constantly, regularly at work in our lives, and Satan doesn't take time off. When someone makes a serious commitment, when someone's life is about to change, when they're about to do things that are going to influence other people around them for Christ, Satan strives in different ways, sometimes pretty blatant, sometimes subtle, at trying to derail us from this. So it has to be, once we accept and make public that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we put a target on ourselves for Satan. And we need to let God know, and it's not much God as it is reminding us ourselves on a daily basis, that Jesus Christ is a part of our soul, who we are, the commitment that we've made. That has to happen in order to be a living sacrifice. And being a living sacrifice is not just avoiding bodily sin. Some people go there, and that's true. But it's not just about that, but it's about actively serving God in a way that brings honor to God. Putting God before ourselves on a daily basis. What are the things you do that I do on a daily basis that draw attention to ourselves, that lift ourselves up? Now, that's not all wrong. I don't want you to hear you have to be self-deprecating and you have to keep yourself and just not give yourself credit for anything. But when you achieve something, when something is successful, you can't make it all about you. God is a part of helping you get to that place, and you celebrate who God enabled you, and you take whatever that is and be willing to use it as God would have you to. And then, a final way I'll summarize this in terms of being a living sacrifice and God being a part of your soul and reflecting who Christ is, there's something that I've heard ever since I was Noah's age in church. But I think there's a lot of truth in it. Sometimes you are the only Bible some people will ever read. There's a lot in here. There's a tremendous amount, and we need to be willing to know this and share this. But there's some people that just for whatever reasons don't ever go there. But they do enter into relationships with us, and so we have a responsibility to reflect Christ to them. That's a part of that living sacrifice. Remember, we're talking about discipleship. All of this is in the context of discipleship, so I hope that makes sense. This carries us to the next point that I wanted to share. Engaging in true and proper worship. What is worship? If someone asked you how to describe worship, what would you say? Because you see what it says here is, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So what we were just talking about, being a living sacrifice, is what true and proper worship is. Now, I expect, I understand that in a context of that, a portion of it is what we're doing right now. But worship, true and proper worship, according to being a living sacrifice, is something we do 24/7. It's not something we do for an hour once a week. Now, this, in what we're doing 24/7, should carry over into our weekly celebration, which is what this should be. It should be a celebration in God's honor of what He's doing in our lives. Being thankful for who God is. Being thankful for the fact He's there with the struggles we're going to go through, the struggles we have been through. And when you're experiencing the life of a living sacrifice and you come together and worship, there is a passion. There's an enthusiasm. There's an appreciation for what's been happening. And you come, and there's emotion. There's excitement. There's enthusiasm. There's power. There's truth in that coming together. And there's value. And the Scripture says that we're supposed to come together. Excuse me.
I hesitate to say this because I don't want to make it about me or focus too much on the pastor and the preacher, but if you're experiencing worship the way God intends, and you're bringing to the worship experience what it's meant, what true and proper worship is, and it's a 24/7 experience for you, when you come together, worship isn't primarily about what the preacher's getting up here and saying. It's not primarily about what is being sung. It's primarily about what God has done and is doing in your life. And these are simply other ways to celebrate and affirm what God's doing. And it brings about joy. But it doesn't start with the song Linda picks out, or it doesn't start with the message that I've prepared. It doesn't start with the music that people are playing. It starts with who God is in our lives. That sets the tone for worship. True and proper worship that exists 24/7. It's also supposed to be holy. It's an acknowledgement of God's greatness. I had an opportunity this past week. I went to Brian's grandfather's funeral, Jack Gill. And the funeral was in a Catholic church. It was interesting. I've told some of you in the past, I've been in a Catholic church before. And while that's not my preferred mode of worship, there was something impressive about the experience that was there in the midst of a funeral, in the midst of recognizing a life that was to be celebrated, but a life that was intended to be lived beyond what was on this earth. There was a recognition of God Almighty, of God of the universe, of Jesus Christ's death on a cross, that yes, there's a relationship with us, but there's a sense into which He's to be revered, and He's holy, and He's above us. And we don't need to forget that. Yes, I've talked about it being about relationship, and it is. But at the same time, we can't cheapen or shortchange who God is and His magnificence and His greatness. Because if we fail to do that, we fail to understand what a living sacrifice really is when that's the living sacrifice you're making and who it's in honor of.
The next part of the scripture I want to talk about is verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You don't have to respond to this, but just listen and think about what you might tell me. Tell me, if you could, how you've grown
in the past week, in the past month as a parent? Did anything happen that you've grown somewhat in the past month as a parent? How about an employee? You learn anything more about how to be an employee or the job that you're doing? Or how about an employer? How to do a better job? Have grown into that? Or let me ask you this. Are you able to be a better employee now than you were the first day that you took the job? Or how about now than you were the first year when you took the job? How about a student? Has anybody learned any more about how to be a better student or what that entails? Have you grown in any way in that regard? How about a musician? How many musicians are in here? You've at least played or tried to play something or sung. So raise your hand if you are attempted to be a musician at some point. Okay. Have you gotten any better? Have you grown in any way in that in the past week, in the past month? Just a question. How about athletes? Who in here plays a sport? Raise your hand if you play a sport. Have you ever played a sport? Okay. All right. You get any better in that at some point? You improved any from 1 year to the next, 1 month to the next, 1 week to the next? Now, why am I talking about all of this? It's related to transformation. All of these things, as we spend time doing them, our who we are transforms. We become different parents than what we started out being. We become different employees. We become different students. We become different musicians. We become different athletes. There is transformation that happens. It doesn't just start there and you're there. It happens, and as long as you're doing that, any of those things, as long as you're engaging in those things, you're growing, right? Does that make sense? As long as you're a parent and you're seeking to be a parent, you're growing in that. If you're an athlete, you're going to continue and you're going to get better. Same with a musician. Same with your job. This is where I want to challenge us in terms of our discipleship. We should be being transformed. We should be developing. And I ask you at the beginning to share with me what God was doing in your life, and a few of you shared that. We often, in church, the word we use is testimony. We ask you to share your testimony of what it means to be a Christian or what God's doing. But you know, why is it easier sometimes to talk about how we're grown in our, how we're experiencing our life as an athlete or a musician or a parent even, than it is to talk about how we're growing in our faith? Can you answer that? Not out loud, but think about it to yourself. Why is it easier to talk about what you did at your job last week, or what happened in an athletic game, or a concert, or a music thing, or something you did? Why is it easier to talk about that than it is to talk about what God's doing in our lives? Even when we're invited to do so in a body of believers. If transformation is happening, we're growing in that way, and we should be just excited, even more excited about what God's doing. And if we're doing it in the right way, it's not about us. It's not that we need to feel like embarrassed because we're talking about ourselves or bragging on ourselves. We're not. We're bragging on God and what God's doing. And the fact that we want that for other people as well. Discipleship requires transformation. One of the signs that we have here: when making disciples, we should see people through the promises of God, seeing who God is making them to be, not simply who they are or were. And then we recognize and affirm God at work in each other. Maybe I should have asked the question a little differently. Instead of what is God doing in your life, what if I had asked you what God was doing in someone else's life? Would you have been able to see that? Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to affirm
God at work in each other and help us grow in those directions. But if we're a disciple, if we're growing, if we're going to be a disciple, we've got to be growing. We can't just set. We can't be satisfied. We can't just do the same old thing all the time. You know what the opposite of developing is? You know what the opposite of growing in discipleship is? It's conforming. The scripture says, do not conform to this world. And if we just, if we don't make that attempt to be transformed, if we don't seek God on a regular basis, we're going to be drawn into a pattern. That even says that. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, because that's what exists in this world. There are patterns, there are expectations, and if we aren't intentional about what God wants us to do, the world is going to pull us into a different track. And then we wonder how we got there. But I read my Bible. But I went to church. But I got dunked under the water. You can do all of that. But if we're not intentional and we're not continually trying to renew our mind, we allow Satan through the world to pull us into places that we just become conformed, and we wonder why we can say we're Christians and we go through things but nothing feels the way we think it should. I talked about renewing your mind. What does it look like to renew your mind? If you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to be beginning with verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. And as I read this, remember we're talking about renewing our mind, but this is also in the context of what discipleship is. Discipleship we've been talking about for 6 weeks now. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Renewing our minds. As we renew our minds, we realize the old is gone and the new is here. And that newness comes every single day. And as we do that, we understand. It says now that we don't even look at other people in the way that we used to. We don't look at them in the worldly view. We don't look at them and see their sin, even though their sin is there. We look at them and we acknowledge what God desires them to be without that sin. And we encourage that as much as we are able. And God leads us in doing that. What was the name of the first song we sang? It was a different one. I Will Follow. That was one of the tenets. That was one of the basic things that we talked about discipleship, and then it came back around, and I don't think, very few of the things that we sing, I believe, are accidents. Because I don't believe Linda's the one that just plans all that. I think God puts that where it needs to be so it can speak to us. And what that reminded me of, and hopefully you as well, is that if we're going to be disciples, it's not about you following me. It's not about you doing what I tell you to do. It's about following Christ and being and doing what Christ says. And that's the same thing in the renewing of our minds. We can see things. We can go places. We can accomplish things when Christ is a part of leading that and bringing us into newness every single day. The final thing I wanted to point out is that if we're really where we're supposed to be as a disciple, we're doing God's will.
I can't count the number of times somebody has asked me, Greg, how do I know what God's will is? What does it mean to be doing God's will? What does it look like to be doing God's will today? And it hit me today with this message. If we're able to understand the first part of what we talked about in terms of being a living sacrifice, if we really get that and we understand what it means to engage in proper worship and true worship on a daily basis, and then we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, we don't have to wonder what God's will is. God's will happens in our lives because we don't have to do it. We don't have to make the decision. We're simply living into being the person God created us to be, and we're going to naturally know and do God's will. It's not going to be a guessing game. Scripture says that it is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will is good for us. God's will is pleasing to Him. And His perfect will does not need to be improved upon. And as I thought about this last part of His perfect will not needing to be improved upon, this is where it hit me. None of us are going to accomplish that will perfectly this side of heaven. But we're to continually strive for it. And we try every single day. The example, particularly because we're in baseball season now, have you ever known a baseball player that anybody would say is a perfect player? That they're perfect? They've never struck out. They've never missed a ball, even for a week, and never missed a ball, never struck out, never done anything wrong, never messed up. No. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect employee. There's no perfect employer. There's no perfect student. And there is no perfect disciple this side of heaven. So we need to constantly be striving. And we are to disciple each other. The thing that I picked out, the bottom of it says we recognize and affirm God at work in each other. This one says, when walking alongside others, we must help them focus on where God is bringing them, not simply where they've been. Because a lot of times what we get focused on is the things we've struggled with, where we are, what's been accomplished. But if you have someone walking alongside you that is helping you, they're able to see beyond that. And they help to lead you in that direction too. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And I'm going to give you one final exhortation. And I told you I'm not usually really great at exhorting because I just feel like it comes across stronger than I want to with my personality sometimes. But exhorting is exactly what I want to do to you today. It's what I feel like God's done to me through Paul in the book of Romans. You need to continue to grow in your faith. That's not a question, it's a statement. You need to continue to grow in your faith. And my question is, what are you going to do about it? I have a couple of suggestions. Now, these are just suggestions to get you thinking about what God wants. But what I do know is that you need to grow in your faith. Maybe it's that you need to understand that daily commitment and you need to live better in that area. Maybe it's giving your entire self. Not just a portion of it. There's a portion of your life that you just, that's just where you keep your stuff and God's not invited in there. Maybe you need to open that up. Maybe you need to be more willing to share your ever-changing testimony, and I don't mean just in church when the pastor calls on you. But if you've got that testimony and you're willing, there's going to be times God will call you to share it. I absolutely promise. But if you're not ready and you can't even describe it yourself, and it's easier for you to talk about how you're growing as a parent or you're growing as an employee than it is how you're growing as a Christian, God can call all He wants to, but you won't be ready. Yet that's the most important thing. That's the reason that we're here on this earth, is to be a disciple and help others to become disciples. And finally, I would encourage all of us to support one another as disciples in Christ. That we would all recognize and affirm God at work in each other. And as we do that, being a living sacrifice becomes such a joy. Lord, we are to be living sacrifices. Jesus Christ sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice
And as we recognize that, as we live into that, being a living sacrifice is just a natural step. But there's so many things in this world that can try to pull us away from that. But Lord, we ask right now that as our sense of worship to you, this is what we're supposed to do. We're to be that living sacrifice. Enable us to embrace that in its fullness today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar's open. I'll be here to pray with you if you desire. Don't just sit there and wonder what's going on. Make the commitment. Follow through with whatever God's calling you to do to grow in your faith today.
Please stand as we sing.